The Pepsodent Show, starring Bob Hope.
Fifth columnist. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Thanksgiving Hope telling you people that if you use Pepsodent, you can stuff yourself with all the turkey you want, but no one will ever give your teeth the bird. Or, this is Bob Thanksgiving Hope telling you that if you use Pepsodent while you may be set for the second date, you'll never have a date with the second set. Well, 42 states in the Union are celebrating Thanksgiving this Thursday. The other six get their heartburn a week later. I spent all day today trying to get a turkey, but I think the pinball machine was crooked. To win a whole turkey, you have to hit 32,000. To win the white meat, you have to hit 25. And to win the dark meat, you have to get 15. All I got was 8,000, and I don't like that part. No, the turkeys here in California are different. They're in the sun so much, they all come with dark meat. I saw a guy in Hollywood Boulevard with an axe in his hand. I said, Thanksgiving turkey? He said, no, I'm going to make parking space for my car. I went to the market today to order my turkey for Thanksgiving and have the prices gone up. I asked the butcher for a 10-pound turkey, and he said, okay, how do you want to finance? Supermarkets and our things expensive. I stepped on a grape, and before they let me out of the store, I had to call in Leon Henderson to set a price. And are those supermarkets big? One fella picked up an egg at the grocery counter, and before he could reach the cashier, he had to pay for a 12-pound chicken. I'm standing here with a 12-pound egg, but you know. California is really a strange place. 50% of the population are opening cans from a supermarket to feed the other 50% who are putting them together again at an airplane factory. What a big market I went to. Every half hour there was a 40-cent tour through the stewed tomatoes. And for another dime, they showed you some of the girls who were still sober. What big places? The only way you can find dog food for your bloodhound is to send down your bloodhound. I've never seen such big markets. I went over to the vegetable counter in one corner and I said, Idaho potatoes. The clerk said, why not? This is Idaho. And you should see how they prepare a turkey at one of those supermarkets. First, they blindfold the turkey. There's a roll of drums, 18 guns fire, and they pluck its feathers out at sunrise. I didn't know how to get to the market, so I followed a pair of slacks. The only trouble was that after 3 blocks, I forgot why I was following them. They were very busy in the market. One butcher was pulling all the feathers off the turkeys, wait, I want to rehearse. Busy in the market, one butcher was pulling all the feathers off the turkeys, and the guy from the Will Hayes office was slipping them into sarongs. I'll be back. I asked one butcher how much his turkey was a pound, and while he was clearing his throat to answer me, the price went up 3 times. Finally, I said, look, here's $5. Give me a turkey. And God said, I get a small turkey for $5. Honestly, that turkey was so small that when I carried it home, a sparrow would follow me crying, my son, my son. And prices have gone up in restaurants, too. At the Brown Derby, the regular turkey dinner is $5. The turkey dinner with turkey is $7. You have to have 2 cosigners to get white meat. And the price of eggs are so high now that they're really valuable. In fact, if a hen happens to be across the road and she feels like laying an egg, She cackles three times and they send a convoy for her. Nice joke, silence. And the price of milk has gone up six times in the last year, so the cows are very snooty. In fact, when a farmer wants to milk them now, they have to make him use sugar tongs. What do you get out of that joke?
Why?
I got a whole different meaning. I'd like to know it. The price of milk has gone up six times in the last year, so the cows are very snooty. In fact, when a farmer wants to milk them now, they're making you sugar tongs. Did you get it that way? Write it down. Slip it to me later.
Baby cook.
I finally decided to go out to the farm and get my turkey direct. I spent about 6 hours looking for one, but I couldn't seem to find what I wanted, so I went back in the daytime. And I went out to a big turkey farm in the San Fernando Valley. They had thousands and thousands of turkeys there. Every place you looked, there were feathers. It looked like Kate Smith doing a fan dance. The farmer wanted me to go down and see his chickens. I said, what for? And he said, oh, they've been acting too snooty now the prices are so high. I just want to show them someone who's getting more for laying eggs than they are. Who snuck that in there? This farmer uses very modern, humane methods of killing his turkeys. He gives them all a drink of gin, and then they la conga up to the chopping block. And gosh, were those turkeys tough. I chopped the head off of one of them, and for 5 minutes, it just ran around in circles swearing. Greased up Bob. Liar. The farmers are getting such high prices for their turkeys, I saw one farmer feeding vitamin pills to a weather vane. The farmers are getting such high prices. Wait a minute, I'll give you another chance. The farmers are getting such high prices for their turkeys, I saw one farmer feeding vitamin pills to a weather vane. No. Don't applaud. You know what a weather vane is, don't you? Doubt it. Farmers are getting such high prices for their turkeys. I saw one farmer feeding vitamin pills to a weather vane. You're a joke. I finally decided to shoot my own turkey, so I went out into the woods. I know all about shooting turkeys. I sat through Sword Sergeant York twice. I saw one guy. I'm not going to wait anymore. I'm just disgusted. I saw one guy shooting and missing. I said, you better hurry up and hit one. He said, oh, I got lots of times. I'm a Republican. Get stronger. Maybe you can swing that joke alone. And you know, you have to be careful when you're out hunting turkeys. You have to aim the gun so the bullets don't hit the farmhouse. I shot at... Farmers are getting such high prices for their turkeys. I saw one farmer feeding vitamin pills to a weather vane. You know, you have to be careful when you're out hunting turkeys. You have to aim the gun so the bullets don't hit the farmhouse. I think I'll save those gags and do it on the Forest Lawn program. Or maybe I better go right over there and do them there. Maybe I just better go over. Maybe I better stay here and send the script over. Move the whole NBC over there. Where are we? Oh, but I had a wonderful time hunting. I shot at something moving in a tree. How do you stuff Johnny Weissmuller? I shot a beautiful turkey. Well, it wasn't exactly a turkey. It was a stork that got flat-footed walking to Crosby's house. And what long necks those turkeys have. I carried mine home and played yo-yo at the same time. Tonight, I'm going to introduce you to a new game that everyone in the radio audience can play. And what's better, it's a game in which everyone wins. I call it Rise and Shine. Here are the rules. At the first stroke of your alarm clock in the morning, you rise and you dash to the... That is not my stuff.
Read that stuff. Commercial.
You know, the jokes were so weak, I couldn't tell where you were going in the commercial.
I have a different one here. Folks, the Bob Hope book is a sure cure for the blues. Hundreds of thousands of people have laughed through its pages, enjoyed every one of the hundreds of antics Bob Hope writes about. In this autobiography, Bob Hope tells all and illustrates his amusing story with photographs and cartoons by the dozen. Since this book has been placed on sale at your favorite drug counter, they've gone like hotcakes. It's so easy to get one. All you do is go to your favorite store, buy a package of any President's product in the large or medium size, and you're entitled to a Bob Hope book for the special low price of only 10 cents. And it's a bargain. Why, you know that several big national magazines have quoted from it. They've used a few pictures from it, and they rave about it. Critics call it a bestseller. Readers call it the funniest book of the year. So you'd better get your copy now while you still see them on your dealer's counter. Get a book for yourself, for your friends, right away at camp.
Where's that stuff? Where's that? My God, I thought he had jokes. Here.
Get your copy of your Bob Hope book for only 10 cents for the purchase of any Pepsodent product, medium or large size.
Francis Langford, ladies and gentlemen, singing Victor Schertzinger's The Magic of the Magnolia.
We felt the magic of magnolias in the night. It made us fall in love. Magnolias in the night. For you and I were together.
Our six hits and a miss singing Magic of Magnolias, a very pretty thing. You look very charming tonight, Frances.
Thank you, Bob. You look very charming yourself.
Yes, and I'm not even trying.
That's what you think.
Can you imagine if Francis, every member of the cast on the show, invited me over to their house for Thanksgiving dinner? Can you believe that?
Certainly, Bob. I've got an option coming up, too. I don't really mean that, Bob. You make a wonderful guest, and you have just lots and lots of personal charm.
Well, that's better.
I thought fast, didn't I? But where are you going to have your Thanksgiving dinner, Bob?
Well, I've got so many invitations.
Yeah, but where are you going?
Well, there's a big party at Hetty Lamar's house, and Lana Turner's having a lot of people over, and a lot of people are eating their turkey over at Madeline Carroll's house.
Yes, but where are you eating your Thanksgiving dinner?
At McDonald's Drive-In, number 6. The shoestring potatoes. By the way, Francis, are you having dinner home?
Yes, we prepared a lovely dinner. Cocktails, games, and we've invited our friends.
Can I come too?
There will now be an embarrassing lull in the conversation.
But, Francis, I do wash them in Lux. Say, when you, when you cook your Thanksgiving dinner, Francis, remember that formula I gave you for the gravy.
Oh, I'll use it, Bob. But one thing I wanted to ask you. Do you add the flour before or after you squeeze in the 3 tubes of Pepsodent?
That depends on when you put in the urium.
Oh, Bob, here comes Betty Hutton. Hello, Betty.
Hiya, Frank.
Hello, Betty.
Hiya, Granny.
Well, if it isn't Betty Hutton. Say, this is your third week here, isn't Betty?
Yeah, I'm just sticking around waiting for some laughs.
And your salary.
I wonder which I'll get first.
Say, hope you get one of the two. How do you feel now that I've convinced you to make one more appearance on this program?
Well, I won't know until the chloroform wears off. From my folks when they heard I was going to be on your program again.
Really?
Yeah, it was a swell letter. But it seems they want me to move. Bob, what do they mean by psychopathic ward?
Psychopathic ward? Oh, I know where that is. That's where I get all my writers. Besides, I don't know why you're complaining. I'm the best-looking man in radio, am I not?
Yes, you am not.
What?
I mean, yes, you are not.
That's better. I hate to be insulted in bad English. I noticed last week you were pretty nice to Adolph Manju when he was here. What's he got that I haven't got?
Well, Bob, the main difference between you two characters is that Manju's a hip cat who keeps swinging down on the groove with the rest of the jive-bounds, while you, Bob, are an icky on the schmaltzy side who doesn't know boogie-woogie from a solid rip.
Well, that clears that up. Betty, Francis and I were just talking about Thanksgiving. Have you looked at any turkeys?
Not until now.
You know, Betty, I'm finding the turkeys very expensive this year.
Well, it's your own fault, Bob. I told you not to take them to Earl Carroll's.
Are you all set for Thanksgiving, Bob?
Yes, I've got a beautiful 9-pounder.
Let's leave your stomach out of this.
Well, Betty, what are you thankful for this year?
I'm thankful for the disposition I've got. I'm a nice, quiet girl.
Quiet girl.
Well, ain't I?
Betty, you're not a quiet girl. In fact, we had an earthquake here the other night, and you scared us back to Long Beach.
Afraid when we had that earthquake.
By the way, Betty, in California, we don't refer to it as an earthquake.
You don't?
No, what happened the other night was the weather was so beautiful, a few orange groves decided to do the rumba. What else have you got to be thankful for?
Oh, I'm thankful I'm in Hollywood. Gee whiz, how many girls get to Hollywood, Bob?
I don't know. It'd be hard to count them.
Why?
Well, after they get here, they put on slacks and you can't tell if they're girls.
By the way, Betty, where are you eating your Thanksgiving dinner?
I'm a stranger here in California, Francis, so I'm going out to Bob's house for Thanksgiving dinner.
My, you are a stranger. So you're going out to Bob's house to have Thanksgiving dinner?
Yeah, what's the matter?
I didn't know you were making that kind of money.
Wait a minute, Francis. Francis, are you implying that I charge people when I invite them over to my house for dinner?
You certainly do.
I do not. Of course, you want to bring along a little extra change to go through the turnstile.
Not only that, Betty, but he's got the only driveway in Hollywood that goes over a private toll bridge.
Well, I've got to look after myself. I remember a lot of Thanksgivings I was hungry.
You ain't doing too good here tonight.
Yeah, I remember Thanksgiving back when I was a kid in Cleveland.
Did you come from a nice neighborhood, Bob?
No, I came from a neighborhood where the kids were really tough. They were fighting all the time. My eyes were bad, too.
What made your eyes bad?
Well, I wore glasses and I didn't need them. Boy, it was really a tough bunch of kids in our neighborhood. Why, our mothers never used to wash behind our ears.
Why not?
No ears.
Gosh, Gosh, Bob, were the kids really that tough?
Betty, those kids were so tough, any cat in the neighborhood that had a tail was a tourist. We were some bunch back in Cleveland. We used to heave rocks at trains, and the engineers would holler at us.
Oh, we were tougher than that in Detroit. The trains around our way didn't even have engineers on them.
They didn't. How'd they stop?
Well, when anybody wanted to get on the train, they'd just stick their arm out and hold it for a minute.
Eat a lot of Thanksgiving, Bob?
A lot? Listen, Alice. No, that's wrong. Listen.
Did the kids in your family eat a lot of Thanksgiving, Bob?
A lot. Listen, Francis. We were so hungry, we ate everything in sight.
You got me so damn.
Yes, you have, Alice. Did the kids in your family eat a lot of Thanksgiving, Bob?
Did the kids in your family eat a lot at Thanksgiving, Bob?
A lot. Listen, Francis, we were so hungry, we ate everything in sight. In fact, after our family finished the Thanksgiving meal, my mother would stand up with a worried expression and count the children.
It must have been fun being in a big family like that.
Yeah, one year my mother made a mistake and sewed the turkey up with a violin string.
Gee, what happened?
It was the first time my father ever carved a turkey and played intermezzo at the same time. Say, did you come from a tough neighborhood too, Francis?
No, Bob, I didn't. You know, I usually celebrate Thanksgiving way down south.
Really? That's the part of the turkey I always get, too.
When I was a kid, I lived down south in a very exclusive neighborhood. I'll never forget how exclusive it was. You know, they don't kill a turkey with an axe.
No?
No, they look at it through their lorgnettes till it throws to death.
Put it all in fast this. I love it.
You know, Bob, I've got an idea. Let's show the folks how Thanksgiving is celebrated among the rich people and on the other side of the track.
That's swell. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our version of Thanksgiving. First on Park Avenue and then on 10th Avenue. Francis, you and I will play Park Avenue. Music, Skin.
I say, Reginald.
Yes, Francine.
Did you enjoy your dinner, Reginald?
Oh, quite, quite. I really crammed myself.
Did you?
Yes, I'm quite full. Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Unlace me.
That was a most enjoyable. Reggie, have me the whisk room.
You want the whisk room? Are you suffering from dandruff?
No, I just want to brush off the caviar.
I'm afraid the dinner was too much for me. Just look at my stomach.
Oh, that reminds me. We must send another bundle to Britain. For a great many years now, Reginald. You have quite a large pot tummy.
Yes, I have rather a large pot tummy.
Shall we go into the other room?
Yes, Jeeves.
Yes, sir.
Steer it. I'll get that over, Susie.
Are you sure you finished eating?
That doesn't get it. I'll just put the headlights.
Well. Are you sure you finished eating? Have some biscuits.
No, thanks. I eat so many biscuits, they're coming out of my ears. Well, don't stand there, Jeeves. Stuff them back in. By the way, Francine, what's become of your father? The old boy seemed in quite a hurry at the meal.
Oh, yes. He made $1 million in the market today. And he wanted to go back to his room and feel it again before the Democrats get it.
Optimist.
Poor dear, Father's so horribly busy. At 1 o'clock, he has a conference in Wall Street. At 2 o'clock, he has a luncheon appointment with the mayor. At 3 o'clock, he has a board of directors meeting at his office.
Where is he now?
Playing the pinball machine at the Thrifty Doug.
Playing the pinball machine at the
Thrifty Drugstore.
Versatile old drip, isn't he?
The holiday season is wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, you know, Francine, that's the largest turkey I ever saw. How did you manage to kill him?
Oh, we didn't kill him. The poor thing died of a broken heart after he saw the B-19.
It was a very fancy turkey.
What do you mean, fancy?
Well, this is the first time I ever saw a turkey that wore stuffing in a snood.
I'm sorry about these makeshift napkins, Reginald. Our regular napkins were stolen.
Oh, I hadn't even noticed. Aren't these napkins?
No, we just put some embroidery on our old annuities. Reginald?
Yes, my little bond clipping.
Would you like a cup of tea?
Very much. Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Set my pinky. Point it due north. I feel adventurous today.
Here's your tea, Reginald.
Oh, thank you. Ouch, I burned my finger. Morgenthau.
Reginald, such awful language.
Oh, Francine, old girl, I just noticed something. Doesn't your apartment seem a trifle small?
Oh, yes, we've closed off the tennis court.
Oh, Morgenthau, ditto. I say, I must be leaving soon. I must be skittering along.
Is that your chauffeur driving up to the house now?
No, my chauffeur will be here for me at 6.
What makes you so sure?
I heard him telling his chauffeur to call for him at 5:30.
Come, Reginald, sit down beside me here and rest. Remember, we have had a large repast.
Are you sure? Yes, I feared I did eat a bit too hastily. Jeeves?
Yes, master?
Burp me. I say, it's getting a bit warm in here.
Oh, Jeeves, will you kindly open the window?
Go jump in the lake, madam.
What?
He's allowed to say that once a day. It's that new union contract.
Ah, this is so comfortable here. By the way, have you seen Millicent recently?
Yes, I saw Millicent last night in her new evening gown. What a girl. Just too.
Yes, and what's the exchange?
Oh, Reginald, always a schlumiel.
You know, dear, I'm growing up. Remember, I never had the slightest bit of fuzz on my chest. Look at it now.
Why, Reggie, Ehrman.
Yes, I expect to realize quite a bit on it. Say, Francine, old girl.
Yes, Reginald.
That's the way I felt when I read it. Say, Francine, old girl.
Yes, Reginald.
How did your pater make all his money?
I told you, manufacturing pinball machines.
Really, those things that tilt?
Yes.
Takes after your mater, don't they?
How did your pater make his millions?
He owns 10% of Superman.
Indeed. Who is this Superman?
Oh, he's a fellow who can leap right over the tops of buildings, knock down entire cities, and smash holes through concrete walls.
Really? How can he do all that?
He has a California driver's license. My mother has a great deal of money, too.
Really?
Yes, mother made all her money in tea.
Bags?
One of the biggest.
On the divan.
I'll order some music. Would you care to hear the piano concerto?
The piano concerto? Who wrote that?
Tchaikovsky.
Who?
Tchaikovsky.
Would you care for some Kleenex?
Yeah. You look adorable tonight, Francine. I think I will kiss you. Jeeves?
Yes, sir.
Warm up my blood. I may even propose to you.
Yes, sir.
And buckle on my kneeling pad.
And did you ask Father if you could have my hand, Reggie?
Quite.
You really asked Pater?
Quite.
Last night in the library?
Quite.
Then why did you leave the house so suddenly?
Fight.
Come, Reggie. Pop the question.
Very well, old Francine. Here I'm popping. Will you marry me? Will you take me for better or for worse than 6% on all loans?
Yes, I will.
Righto, before I go, I would like to hold you in my arms. I would like to smother you in kisses and crush you to me.
Reggie, dear, kiss me.
Oh, I say, this is awful.
Reggie, what's wrong?
My head is spinning one way and my pivot tooth the other. Thank you, Francis. And now Betty Hutton and I will show you Thanksgiving as it is celebrated on the other side of the tracks.
Moidle.
Yeah, Hoyman.
Gee, that was a nice hot toiki.
Yeah, that was a real hot toiki. They almost nabbed my father when he was leaving DeMarcus.
Say, Moid, you sure that was a real toiki we ate?
What makes you think it wasn't?
Well, the leg I got had a mouse trap on it.
Gee, it's so nice here.
They're hot on this side.
The light guy got a mouse trap on it.
Gee, it's nice here. New curtains, Moidle?
Yeah, new curtains.
Gee, they look nice on you.
Say, Hoy, how come you didn't wear your shoes today?
Oh, I don't have to. I got no holes in these stockings.
You had enough to eat?
Yeah, but gee, there's plenty of food here. Give me another drumstick, Moy.
Okay, Hoy, here's another drumstick.
Oh, thanks. Gee, this drumstick must have been swell when there was meat on it.
Did you like the way my mother made the toiki?
Yeah, gee, stuffed with beer caps.
Yeah, and it would have tasted even better if she'd taken them off the bottle.
Well, I don't think she'd done no great job on it.
Hey, I don't like you telling us how to stuff the toiki. What do you know?
What is that? Da-da-da for victory? Well, I know that first you mix up bread, chestnuts, and flour and bacon before you stuff it in, you clean out the toiki.
Oh! You're supposed to take out the other stuff first?
Well, I'll admit that toiki was pretty good, Moid, but some of it tasted kind of funny.
Well, Hoyt, I told you, before you start eating a piece, you're supposed to pull the feathers out.
Yeah, it's the first time I ever ate dinner and had my liver tickled at the same time.
You know, Hoyman, before they was good...
First, he told me when he started it. Where are we?
You know, Hyman, before he was going to kill the toiki, Pa made it drink a whole quart of Four Roses to give it courage.
He what? Gosh, what happened? Did that give the toiki courage?
I guess it did. I was caught 3 days later in San Diego driving a stolen car.
Gee, what a joiky toiki.
Gee, didn't my family look nice sitting all around the table with the food piled up in the middle?
Yeah, and your father looked nice sitting there saying grace with a gun in his hand. Hey, Moit, look at the McGonagalls across the court. The window's open. They're starting to eat dinner.
What's that?
They just said grace. Gee, they're so polite to each other. Listen, there's Mr. McGonagall talking.
Have a nice turkey wing, Mama.
Thank you, Papa. Have a leg.
Thank you, Mama.
Gee, they're really polite.
Yeah.
What happened?
They got to the white meat. Blackout.
You ain't no better. The way you munched on that leg you had.
What was wrong? The dog was finished with it.
Yeah, but next to the dog, Uncle Louie is the oldest.
Nice try. Oh. Oh, your Uncle Louie is crazy.
He is not.
Oh, no? What was he doing in the icebox all evening?
He likes to read by that little light. I was talking about your table manners.
Now, wait a minute. I got good manners. I didn't use the wrong knife or fork once, did I?
No, but you're the only guy I know what can eat through 8 courses with his hands in his pocket.
Gee, I wish I had good manners like you, Moit. You never dip your bread into your gravy. You use a blotter.
Gee, ain't it swell sitting around like this on Thanksgiving afternoon?
Yeah. Say, Myrtle, what's Thanksgiving for anyhow?
Why, Hoyman, Thanksgiving is in honor of the Pilgrims. Don't you know that story about them oily settlers? They landed on Plymouth Rock and they had to fight the Indians.
Did they lick the Indians?
Why do you think we celebrate Thanksgiving? Sure they licked the Indians.
Gee, that Gene Autry's wonderful, ain't he?
Hoyman, Gene Autry didn't help him lick the Indians.
Oh, it was Flash Gordon, huh?
No.
I know, it was Superman.
No, and it wasn't the United States Army either, because there wasn't no United States Army.
Yeah, how did everybody dodge a draft? You know, Moit, that reminds me. I took my draft examination yesterday.
But, Hoyman, you ain't 21.
Sure I am. I'm 22.
Hoyman, I mean how many years, not how many kids your mother had ahead of you.
Gee, I like coming over here, Moit. You got a ritzy family.
Yeah, my sister's so swell. Every week she goes to the beauty parlor for a pedicure.
Yeah, pedicure? What's that?
That's when you get your toenails cut.
Tony or Scott, Mike, you mean there's other ways of shortening them besides biting them?
Oh, no.
You just can't do it, can you? Sounds like a
dance session. Say,
there'll be a 5-minute recess while everybody throws up. Again. Where are we?
Isn't that awful?
Isn't that awful? That's just for John tomorrow when he hears the record.
Well, let's get back to the stuff.
Where are we? Say, how come your Aunt Hilda ain't here tonight?
She got arrested for shoplifting. They caught her with the goods.
Gee, you said Aunt Hilda had a perfect hiding place for the stuff she stole.
Yeah, but this time she stole an alarm clock and the store detective got kind of suspicious when a bustle began ringing.
Want to try that in a second? Hey, come on, Moyd. Let's sit over here together.
Gosh, you know, Raymond, you've been my boyfriend for 2 years now, and you sure puzzle me.
You mean you don't understand me?
That's right. At the table, you eat like a horse, and on the sofa, you act like a wolf.
What do you say? Give me a kiss.
No, Hoyman.
Oh, come on. Give me a kiss to celebrate the holidays.
Okay, I'll give you one great big kiss to celebrate the holidays. Here.
Wow!
What's the matter?
It's the first time I ever celebrated both Thanksgivings at once. I don't know what the hell it means. And if I ever get that fourth of Sullivan, I kick the hell out of it. That's all I've got. That's funny. It's the first time I ever celebrated both Thanksgivings at once. Oh! Thank you, Betty Hutt. Well, you gonna, what are you going to say, honey?
Oh,
here comes Betty Hutt and hitting you with Old Man Mose Ain't Dead, but that last blackout is...
Say.
Once there lived an old man.
There's a group of fellas out in Chicago who keep their jobs because they're always dissatisfied with what they do. Sounds a little funny, doesn't it?
First time I ever saw.
But that's right. They're the fellows who work day in and day out in the Pepsodent laboratories looking for new and better ways to make teeth cleaner and brighter. That's why today, Pepsodent, and only Pepsodent, contains composite metaphosphate, a remarkable, safe, and efficient polishing agent. And that's why Pepsodent tooth powder now has the power to produce a luster on teeth twice as bright as the average of all other leading brands. Take a tip from these hard-to-please fellows out in Chicago. Don't be satisfied with a halfway tooth powder. Get Pepsodent tooth powder at your corner store tonight. And now, Bob Hope presents another chapter from his book, They Got Me Covered. Little Robert Hope is growing up. He has entered his adolescence. He is at the age where he is beginning to wonder if it's a lie, what he reads in Superman, and if it's true what he sees in Esquire. Young Robert Hope realizes he is no longer a child. When he meets a girl, he speaks to her boldly, like this. And the girl answers like this. Today he is a man. He realizes he must earn his own living. Determined to get rich quickly, Robert Hope hits on a brilliant plan for earning money and makes up his mind to try it. He changes his mind. Instead, he decides to make his living by going into vaudeville. Last week, we told you what happened when Bob tried to get into vaudeville. And for those who missed that chapter, we give you a brief resume of what Bob did in vaudeville.
Only the one I laid was king size. Bitter and disillusioned, I got on a train that was going back to my hometown, Cleveland. All off! Cleveland! Porter, is this really Cleveland?
Yeah, all off! And all off from under, too!
Back home, Bob Hope ponders over what is to be his life work. Suddenly, an idea hits him.
I have it, Mother. I'll become a prize fighter.
But, my boy, if you become a prize fighter, other prize fighters will hit you.
Yeah, and they'll probably hit me in the face. Do you think I ought to become a prize fighter? All those punches might change my looks.
Well, what are you waiting for, stupid?
And so Bob turns to the prize fight ring. As our story continues, we show you how Bob becomes a pugilist with a capital Pew. We now find him in training for his first professional fight. He's in the big barn behind his house with Skinny Ennis, his bosomless pal. Skinny is acting as his sparring partner.
Take that. And that. And that. And that. Gee, I've killed him. Yeah, Bob, that's the third fly today. I'll teach him to use my nose for a sliding pond.
Hey, you know, Bob, you sure got this barn fixed up swell for training. Look at all these different iron weights here. Say, did you ever try lifting this dumbbell?
Ken, you better learn to talk faster or run faster.
Hey, you know I like coming out here to be your sparring partner, Bob. Tell me, how do you like all these fight? How do you like these fighting trunks I got?
Some fighting trunks, a tea bag with an elastic band.
Yeah, and every time I take a hot shower, I drip orange tea cold.
Gee, it's swell training in this barn, only there isn't enough light in here.
Oh, sure there is, Bob. Go on. All right, it's time for you to work out on the punching bag.
Okay, watch me. I'll take a sock of that punching bag. Care for a glass of milk? Again, we ought to get a real bag. I hate hitting a cow like that.
Yeah, Bob, but this way you got the only cow in the neighborhood that gives whipped cream. Well, that was a good workout there, Bob. Now, let me feel your muscles. There. Gee, that reminds me. My mother wants me to buy a pound of butter.
Oh, you're just jealous.
Oh, Bob, you ain't built for a fighter.
What do you mean I'm not built for a fighter?
Well, even when you're sitting in your corner, you're leading with your chin.
Well, that's better than you always leading with your ribs.
Now, listen here. Man, you can't talk to me like that. You've aroused the beast in it. Put up your hands. I'm going to sail into you and tear you apart. I'm going to beat your head till it looks like a raw hamburger. Then I'm going to thrash you to within an inch of your life and... Man, who's been feeding my script vitamin pills?
Look, Ken, you're my trainer, but don't worry so much. Take a good look at my physique. Now, honestly, did you ever see a bill like mine?
No, Bob. I've never seen a body like yours.
You think I could chew Wheaties?
Say, Bob, I wonder what's happened to your manager. He's supposed to be out lining up a fight for you.
Hello?
Hello? To who am I talking?
Professor Clone, I told you last week it isn't to who am I talking, it's to whom am I talking, to whom are you talking, to whom are they talking, to whom is she talking, to whom is he talking?
Yeah, I never met such a bunch of blabbermouths.
Say, is this Colonna?
That's right, this is Professor Colonna, manager of Pugilist, exponent of artistic art, matchmaker, fight promoter, and crook. Who said that?
You did.
Well, I ought to know. Say, Hope, I'm down at the gymnasium looking for someone to fight with you.
Come on, Colonna, get me a fight with a guy I can lick.
I've just got the thing, Hope. You can beat him easy. It's a boxing cat. Even I can beat him.
A boxing cat? Are you sure you can beat him?
Certainly. Come on, pussy, put up your mitt. Sometimes I wonder, am I a man or a mouse?
Come on, Colonna, what about a fight?
Well, I'm arranging for a fight right now. Listen, babe, how about having dinner with me tonight?
Hey, Colonna, I thought you were arranging for a fight.
If she finds out, she has to pay the check.
Colonna, someday you'll make me lose my head.
Fine. You look better without it.
Well, Skin, we better continue with my training. I'll get on this electric horse here.
Hey, Bob, that electric horse is pretty complicated. Sure you know how to work it?
Sure I know how to work it. It gives me a good workout. See, first I press this button here, and then I start... Skin! Maybe I better punch the bag.
Hey, Bob, you better do some real good training.
Nice sound effect. They forget the song, sketch, and everything. I think we'll get that sound effect to sponsor just that one. It makes a nice 15-minute program.
You better do some real good training, Bob. That last guy you fought really socked you, didn't he?
Socked me, Skin. Socked me, Skin. Maybe I better punch the bag.
Hey, Bob, you better do some real good training. That last guy you fought really socked you, didn't
he? Socked me, Skin. He hit me in the eye so hard he packed my bag. Say, did you get all the equipment for my next fight, Skin?
Yeah, I got all the equipment. Here it is, Bob. Bathrobe, sneakers, socks, and identification tag.
Well, don't worry about me, because I'm in great shape, Skin. I'm in great shape.
Bobby!
Yeah, Ma? My mother's coming out here to the barn.
Gee, you may not be a fighter after she sees you.
Why not?
She may want a bloomer's back.
Now, listen, Robert. Why don't you put those gloves away and stop all this foolishness?
Oh, but Ma, Pa was a prize fighter, and I want to follow in Pa's footprints.
Listen, son, the way your Pa fought, he didn't leave any footprints.
Listen, Ma, I know I'm going to be a great fighter. Why, I can lick Skinny Ennis already. You know how big and tough he is.
Skinny Ennis? Why, he's a... Skinny and thin, his mother has to put a leash on him before she let him in the bathtub.
Now, wait a minute, Miss Hope. Wait a minute, Mrs. Hope. Don't worry about Robert. I'm his trainer, and if you'll follow my instructions, pretty soon he'll be in just as good a shape as I'm in.
Oh, well, we all gotta die sometime. Now, come on. Come on, Robert. Come on and stop this foolishness.
Oh, but I want to be a prize fighter. Why does everyone discourage me? Gee, can't anybody get my slant on things?
Now, son, you got the only forehead like that in the world. You can't become a prize fighter. You've always been a very weak child.
I have not been a weak child.
Oh, no? Until you were 17 years old, I had to take the elastic out of your suspenders because they kept lifting you off the ground.
Good. Oh, Ma, there's a fortune in the fight racket. Look at Jack Dempsey. Look at Jess Willard. Look at Gene Turney.
You mean look at Gene Turney?
No, I want to look at Gene Turney. It's more fun.
Hey, Bob. You really think you'll ever learn to be a great fighter?
Why, of course, Skin. Don't you remember what happened in my very first fight? I'll never forget it. The bell rang for the first round, and my opponent came out of his corner. I came out of mine. Then I got into a crouch. I got down lower and lower and lower. The next thing I knew, I was wrestling with a gopher. My opponent came at me. I hit him with the left of the button, another left of the button. Then his pants fell off. Hello?
Hello, Hope.
Hello?
You know what I'm doing? I'm doing my road work.
You're doing your road work?
Yes, but I can't catch her.
Look, Professor, how about getting me a match?
A match? Why, you'll never set the world on fire. Is corn catching?
If it is, you're a one-man epidemic. Haven't you found an opponent for me yet?
Yes, tell me, Hope. Do you think you could beat up a mouse?
Of course I could beat up a mouse.
How about a gopher?
Colonna, get to the point. Who did you sign me to fight?
Gargantua.
Gargantua, Colonna, Gargantua is the biggest ape in the whole world.
Come, Hope. You're just being modest. I'm over at his home right now, and I just arranged for you to fight Gargantua.
You're at Gargantua's home, and you arranged for me to fight him. But Colonna, you idiot, I'm trying to make you understand. Gargantua is a gorilla.
He's a gorilla?
Yes.
Better get off my lap, Mrs. Gargantua.
Colonna, are you hugging a gorilla on your lap?
Yes. Out. Positions reversed.
Keep away from that gorilla, Colonna. He'll tear you in two.
Don't be silly. How could he tear me in two?
Colonna, Colonna!
Which one do you want to speak to?
Colonna, stop fooling and get me a real fight. You know I won't fight Gargantua.
How about Joe Lewis?
No, Colonna, too tough.
How about Billy Conn?
Too tough.
Maxie Bear?
Too tough.
Well, I guess it's Bobby Breed again.
Professor, you bowl me over.
Okay. Fight him up to the other, Ollie.
Hey, come on, Bob. Colonna's going to get you a fight soon. Let's keep training.
I tell you, Skin, I got to be a fighter. A little voice inside of me keeps saying, fight, 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 fight.
Gee, does that little voice always keep telling you to fight, 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 fight?
Always. Of course, it stutters a little when I go by the draft office. But I still want to fight in the ring. I'm in good shape, Skin. Look at that stomach. Hard as a rock.
Looks more like a double order of pancakes to me.
Nonsense, as hard as a rock. Go ahead and hit me. Hit me. Well, pass the maple syrup.
Come on there, Bob. We got to get you in shape. I'll spar a few rounds with you.
Okay, Skin, but don't let me hurt you.
I won't.
Keep away from my right hand. It's murder.
I'll watch it.
And keep away from my left.
Okay, put up your duke.
Oh, oh!
Doggone, Bob. I keep remembering you're a Yankee.
Skin, I wish Colonna would phone. I think he just signed me up to fight Joe Lewis. Gee, I'm so happy. Jim never ever brings me pretty flowers. Yes?
After you fight Lewis, he will.
Look, I won't fight Joe Lewis.
How about John L. Lewis?
John L. Lewis, how much does he weigh?
With or without his eyebrows.
Well, I don't want to fight him either.
Okay, Hope, I've got another fight for you with Manslaughter Morgan. Come down to the dressing room right away.
Okay. Come on, Skin. We got to get right down to the dressing room. Let's go. Fighting you. Here I go to fight.
Follow the dash.
Where are we?
There's your dressing room, Bob, number 13. Hey, don't knock on the door. Walk right in.
I'm not knocking on the door. Those are my knees. Let's go in.
See you.
What is it, a papier-mâché door? What is that? He's got so many cues, he's just nervous waiting with a strawberry box. He sleeps all night with a strawberry box.
Gee, you're nervous, Bob.
You never can tell when he's got a cue. Go ahead.
You're mighty nervous, Bob.
What?
So you're nervous.
So you're starting to convince me? What makes you think I'm so nervous, Skin?
You got big goose pimples.
Well, I always have goose pimples going into a fight.
Yeah, but this is the first time I ever saw him doing a rumba.
Yeah, everyone thinks I'm going to lose this fight, including my opponent. He sure is confident, but he doesn't want the fight to start later than 10:28. He's got tickets on the 10:30 train.
Bob, he's too confident. That only gives him 2 minutes to get out of his ring clothes.
Again, he's fighting me with his overcoat on. It's all snappy stuff in there.
Hello. Hey, Bob, it's for you. It's your girlfriend, Francie.
Yeah? Hello, Francie.
Bob at home, is it true that you're going to be in a common prize fight tonight with another common brute who might blacken your eyes and break your jaw and flatten your nose and bloody you all up?
Yes, Francie.
Oh, goody. Can you get me a ringside seat?
Again. Francie said she'll drop in before the fight, but even she doesn't think I'll win. Oh, look, here comes my manager and trainer, Colonna. He has faith in me. He's confident that I'll win.
Ah, greetings, Kate. Have you changed your will of late? Shades of 1938.
Let's get everybody together and make a big snicker out of that, huh? Colonna, I don't know if I should trust you. Do you know anything about boxing?
Why, certainly. I once fought Two-Tone Tunney.
Professor, you mean Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Ton Tunney.
Two-Tone. Two-Ton Tone.
Woo-woo!
Here comes the Chattanooga Choo-Choo. We gotta rehearse it anyway. Let's try it.
I don't think we should do it. Otherwise, it's a confused.
Let's try it.
Why, certainly, I once fought Two-Tone Tunney.
Professor, you mean Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Ton Tony.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Don't say my line, will you? You flipped the two-ton in there. I heard you. You sneak. You did too.
Two-ton Tony.
Two-ton Tony.
Two-ton Tony.
Two-ton Tony.
Two-ton Tony.
Two-ton Tony. Two-ton
Tony. Two-ton Tony. Here comes the cue from here.
Yeah. Let's try it. Now, after we do about, let me see, 1, 2, 3, 4. This is so much fun.
3 minutes.
You know, I think I could keep house with a joke like this.
Oh, I love you.
Listen, hey, after we do it, about how many times? About 7 times? Huh? 4? About 4 or 5. Well, give it. You can give him the thing. You give him.
I went for Two-Tone Tunney.
Professor, you mean Two-Tone Tony.
No, Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Tone Tony.
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 Two-Tone Tunney.
Two-Tone. For God's sake.
Two-Tone Tunney.
Who said that?
Come on, stop this nonsense. I'm worried.
You haven't got a thing to worry about. I just examined your opponent.
How much does he weigh?
147 in each glove.
147 in each glove? How come?
He likes to save his pennies. He doesn't trust banks. Well, I'll leave you alone for a few seconds. I've got to take care of some details.
Okay.
So long, and keep a sip up a plate.
Gee, Francis, why are you all dressed in black?
Well, Bob, there's no use waiting till the last minute. Robert, I've come to beg you not to go into the ring tonight. That other fella's too big for you.
Oh, I'm not afraid of anybody. He is?
Yes. He's tremendous. The last time he fought a fella, he punched him right in the nose.
What happened to the other guy's nose?
I don't know. He doesn't have one anymore.
Isn't that wonderful?
Bob, are you scared?
So what makes you think I'm scared?
You're biting your fingernails.
Yeah, with your gloves on, too. Boy, I bet that Manslaughter Morgan murders you.
Yeah?
Hey, you. I'm Manslaughter Morgan. Are you the bum I'm fighting?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mug. When we're in the ring and I'm slaughtering you, if you ever see me nose into open where you think you can get a swing at it...
Yeah?
Flatten it out, will you? I want to sing like Rudy Vallee. You can come down off the chandelier. Hey, what's the matter, Bob? Why don't you stand on your feet?
Oh, I'm so scared I can't get my bones to hold my skin up. Hello?
Hello, champ. I want you to get in that ring tonight and fight. I got $10,000 bet on you. So get in there and beat Bob Hope to a pulp.
Colonna, this is Bob Hope you're talking to.
Oops, Sonny Sully, this is Sonny Lovely. Goodbye.
Wait a a crook.
You made me lose my last fight. I found out you put some black pepper on the other guy's gloves.
You found out about the black pepper?
Yes, I found out about the black pepper.
What can I say to you after I say Gesundheit?
Colonna, this is the eve of my big fight. You should be down here. Where are you?
Oh, I'm 10 miles away on the other side of town.
And it's impossible for you to get here in time.
Araujo, what?
Why, Colonna, you're here.
Yes. Things I do to save taxi fare. Now, hold still. I'll put the tape around your hands. Remember, Hope, I want this to be a clean fight.
Certainly, Colonna. It'll be a clean fight.
Fine. Now, how do you want the horseshoes? Over or under your brass knuckles?
You better put them over so I can hold these rocks in my hand. Come on, let's start walking down to the ringside. Hand me my cane.
Mr. Hope, say, Mr. Hope, I work here. I'm the timekeeper for the fight.
You're the timekeeper, the guy who rings the bell between each round?
Yes, day in and day out, week after week, 52 weeks a year. For the last 47 years, I've been ringing the bell, ringing the bell, ringing the bell, ringing the bell. It's awful. It's terrible, I tell you.
Well, what's so terrible about ringing that bell?
Well, couldn't I yell good humor just once?
Me alone. I'm nervous. Hey, Professor, why are these four guys following us? I don't need 4 seconds in my corner.
I know, but for the same money, they work later as pallbearers.
Well, here we are in the ring. Gee, I'm nervous.
Now, look, Hope, don't worry. As soon as the fight starts, your opponent will rush into a neutral corner and cover himself up with both hands.
How do you know?
I stole his trunks. Very long, did he?
Wait a minute, folks. Hope is on the floor, unconscious, but now it's coming to his senses. It says him. Yes, he's up and he's rushing his opponent. Gee, Hope looks lived up to his name, the human pinball machine. Oops, now he's tilted. Now in the center of the ring, slugging toe to toe.
How you doing, Hope?
Great. How you doing now? I'm killing him. How you doing now? I'm murdering him. Ouch! Ouch, 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 ouch.
Well, I'll get a broom.
Got another one. Terrific on five west of the there, huh? Don't bother. I'm doing all right. Watch me clean this guy up. There, that takes care of the referee. Now for you, Manslaughter Morgan.
Oh, yeah? Here's an uppercut.
Here's a right jab.
Here's a left hook.
Here's a rabbit punch.
Here's your teeth.
Thanks. About. I missed him by 6 yards.
That's what I mean, brother. Are you foul?
Right.
All right. Joke.
All right.
But Hope, you can still win. I'm sitting here by the ringside with a hammer in each hand. Just back him in my way and I'll do the rest. I've got a lot of money in that selection.
Brother, don't open your eyes or you'll bleed to death. Anyway you feel like it. Take it.
Foul, foul, foul.
Foul, foul. That's what he said. What are you talking about? I missed him by 6 yards.
Well, that's what I mean, brother. Are you foul? But Hope, you can still win. I'm sitting here by the ringside with a hand on each hand. Just back in my way and I'll do the rest. I've got a lot of money on this fight.
Okay, Colonna, I'm backing him your way.
A little closer, Hope. I've got a lot of money on this fight. A little closer.
Shh.
Ah, that's right.
Oh!
Oops. Wrong fighter. Well, I'll go collect my bet.
We're grateful to you all who let us pay a call And cents you spent for Pepsodent have helped to hire the hall. So thank you
so much.
All thanks
for the memory of you, the crew and cast, whose help has been so vast. To you I owe the future, all the present and the past.
And thank you
so much. We hope for Thanksgiving we'll find you all grinning with cares left behind you. To keep smiles shining bright, we remind you, use Pepsodent, it's excellent.
Ladies and gentlemen,
let us remind you that the Red Cross not only rushes to the aid of thousands of Americans in need in time of floods, earthquakes, fires, or terrible storms, but the Red Cross is also a vital part of our national defense. So join the Red Cross now and tell your friends to join.
That's it, Skinner. We're going to music. And next week, folks, we'll be back at the same time with Francis Lamb, the very glorious Skinny and the Small.
Bob Hope.
Thank you, Ben.